Welcome to our podcast. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's lurking around each and every corner. Now here are your hosts, Todd and Sean. And they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies. Welcome to episode 16. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean. Nate is our sound engineer, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What is going on, my man, Sean?
Nothing too much, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Just getting back at the recording and doing episode 16.
Loving every minute of it, right?
I am. Nate, how you doing?
Doing great. Doing good.
Good. Yeah, we're excited to be back in the recording studio of the Mako headquarters, right?
Second episode of the night.
Yep.
I'm so excited because my dinner's on its way.
What are we having?
Qdoba nachos.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm staying.
Yeah. And when I said, what are we having? What are we?
There's not a mouse in your pocket. It's not just French, right?
That's right. No, I had rotisserie chicken with mac and cheese before I came here, so I'm good.
Yeah, that's good.
That sounds really good.
It's real good. It's just my game. It's like
Doc. Yours is in the microwave.
Mine's in the microwave, yeah. I don't remember what the heck she said it was, but it sounded good.
Yeah, nice. Well, guys, we're glad, bringing you another episode, and I just can't believe we're up to number 16.
That's wild. Isn't that wild? I know, like I said before, this is going to seem like nothing at some point to 20.
Flies by.
We can't tell you what's on the next episodes, but they're going to be really cool.
Oh, yeah. We got them planned out.
And that list keeps going, too.
Yeah.
Number 20 is going to be Jenna's idea. She wants full credit
for that.
That's right. So I'm going to start building the momentum now.
That's right. It is Jenna's idea. Yep.
I told her I was thinking about it, but she said, nope. It's my idea, and that's it. And I said, you're right. It's your idea.
Well, when the time comes, when we record
it'll be
number 20, we will give her credit.
It's going to have to have special music and everything.
Does it even exist? We'll find out.
Ooh, we will find out. It's from the mind of Jenna, so who knows, right?
Creepy.
That's really...
Sorry, Jenna.
Creepy deep, right?
Just kidding. No, but guys, thanks for joining us. And
Oh, you're welcome. Oh.
No,
I have to join. I'm being forced.
Yeah, I guess. Thank you,
Held
Sean
prisoner.
And Nate and Sam.
We
Sam,
have to be here.
Sam, our official Mako dog, laying here sleeping and
snoring and vibrating the floor.
Yeah.
Have you guys noticed that?
He's getting tired. Well, it's not even his bedtime yet, right?
No, 9 o'clock. But our last podcast, he's laying right behind me. I'm like, what is vibrating? I look back and he's snoring.
Him.
Yeah, it's him vibrating the floor.
No, I didn't know
27th
that.
Nap of the day, right?
Yeah. Good for him. He earned it.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I told him at some friends camp this weekend over at the campground I'm at. And I told him, I was busy this morning. I had to take Sam for his morning walk. And when I mean walk, I put him in the front seat of the golf cart and I tool him around the campground.
That's hilarious.
That's his walk.
That's a lot of work for a dog.
Darn right. Hey.
He's almost 10 years old. He doesn't get around too well anymore.
He's a big bud.
175 pounds. So.
He needs to be spoiled.
He's a big baby.
He's a big baby.
Oh, Sam. He always gets a shout out somehow.
Oh, yeah.
He should.
Yeah, he's like our fourth person / dog podcast.
Yeah.
He lets his presence be known.
Yes, he does.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the last episode we
recorded. Demons be gone.
Wow.
My eyes are watering.
We're going to get another taste of that, I'm sure.
So. Oh, yeah. He doesn't quit.
No. That's all right. So before we get into tonight's topic, I want to send out a special shout out to first responders. It's been something I've been wanting to do, and I finally got around to putting it in the show flow notes. So we want to thank police officers, firefighters, and EMTs for what they do. So
absolutely.
Thank you guys, and
yes.
Men and women.
They do a hard job.
Yep. They do a job I don't want to do.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I don't have any desire to do what they do. And
keep us and our families and our communities safe and protected, and we absolutely thank them for that.
Yeah, I couldn't be a police officer. As soon as they give me lip, it's like, all right, get out of the car. We're handcuffing you. You're going in.
I know.
I'm done.
Well, yeah.
Protocol goes out the window. I know. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And then a firefighter, like,
I feel threatened.
They're running in while everybody else is trying to run out. And
right.
Yeah.
It's a mentality that not everybody has.
Somebody, I used to work at the Firefighters Credit Union downtown Indianapolis. Worked there two different times, and I think it was like 11 and a half years between the two. And so I was full time, and we had a lot of, you know, obviously firefighters come in, but we had some part time firefighters that worked at the credit union, like on their days off. But I would, I don't know, when I was a teller, then I was a loan officer the second time I was there, and I'd have a loan officer or a firefighter say, like, hey, Ty, when are you going to get on you know, or you thought about, and I'm like, are you kidding me? No. They're like, why not? It's a great. I'm like, I know it's a great career, but I don't want to run into a burning building. Pretty much, that's it. Like, that's there's no other reason.
I got one hang point.
Yeah,
I don't want to run into a burning building.
It's hot. Okay,
kind of, yeah.
No, but they really just thought
it's kind of
that's what you
thing
do.
To and be I, able
and
to
I have
do, right?
I have a bunch of uncles and retired uncles and cousins that are retired, and then some currently firefighters, and then I have a bunch of classmates. That they're on the different, mainly Speedway Fire Department where I grew up. And so I just hand it to them, and I thank them very much. But no, it's something I don't want to do. And then, like I said, mm-hmm. police officer, nope. Bullets hurt.
I think it's so important to say thank you, too.
And EMTs, what they have to do.
Oh, yeah.
And the scenes they have to come up on.
They witness. Mm-hmm. And
it's close to my heart, definitely, the EMTs, because they bring in a lot of people and the patients that we end up seeing. And some of the reports, I'm like, oh. It's just awful what they have to see, but they do it, and it's just like the others, you know, all of the, you know, service people. It's very important, and like I said, police and firefighters and the EMTs, they're running into these sometimes literal fires and other times, you know, fires that nobody else wants to deal with, but they're doing it, and they do it, you know, day in and day out, careers that last a long time, and God bless them. I have
absolutely
my grandfather was a firefighter. This is an interesting, I'll make it a quick story, but my grandfather, who I never got to know, he died when my mom was three. He was a railroad train engineer, so he did trains, and he also was a firefighter. So, like, he was kind of like the idea of, you know, you didn't always have work in one, but you had the other, so he had both careers. And so he was also a good chef. He liked to cook. And what happened, long story short, he had come back from a train trip from Toledo in Ohio. And he had just gotten back, and they said, hey, do you mind running? He basically had to run the same, route again. And they said, so-and-so called in, this particular guy. And he said, sure. So he turned around and did it again. And so on his way back, he was a passenger. So he was coming back late at night. And another train ran into them and right into his car, and him, and I think it was five plus him, so six people that were steamed and scalded to death. They were able to get his wallet and comb and a couple of his personal items, which my mom has now, and his pocket watch was frozen on the moment that he would have passed. I believe it was 10:49. Yeah. My mom had, it was cleaned, it was put in glass. My uncle had this for years, and he passed a couple years ago, and before he passed, he gave it to my mom, so she still has that. But his last meal, and I didn't know this till recently, my mom told me this, but he was a good chef and a cook there at the fire department, but it was chop suey. And my grandmother, he had made so much that he froze some of it, and she couldn't eat the chop suey because that was the last thing that he had prepared for them. So they had that chop suey, I guess, in their freezer for a long time.
Oh, man.
But the most, you know, that comes from the firefighter idea, but, an interesting thing that the person that actually, the engineer that ended up killing him and other people, I want to say one of the other passengers was a priest, and was the guy that he took over for. So the guy that had called in sick had been drinking, and so he was inebriated, missed a signal, and ran into him. Oh, and man, so somebody he was doing a favor for ended up taking his life. Yeah. And so my mom always, I've always had that, you know, that was one grandparent I grew up without. But I get reminded, oh, you know, you have this particular trait, or you're like him, you look like him. And so it's like, he's still with us, and he's always been with us. But it has really been impressed upon me to not take things for granted and take each day, you know, for granted. And so, but that's a story that sticks with me. And, but he was doing, you know, he was out there serving, obviously, you know, like his job as a train engineer was important, but as a firefighter would have been just as important and out there. So what firefighters have a special place in my heart. Definitely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's always been big in our family. And like I said, I got a bunch of friends that are, and on the police force too.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. So shout out to our first responders.
Thank you. I get these little stories. I'm like, oh, I have to tell this cause it is interesting.
That is a wild one though. That's
I got stories for days.
It's intense and sad, but then
you're in a good place. We're doing a podcast.
I know. This is I know.
No. So, thanks for sharing that one. Yeah. I just wanted to say that before we get into it. Again, this is episode 16. Thanks, guys, for joining us. And Sean, what are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about now. See, when I looked at the information. I thought every other place in this world is haunted, except for I thought Canada was completely ghost free. I really didn't think they were haunted at all. I thought they were like a clear blip on the radar. But
too cold. They stay.
They are exactly like the ghosts don't like it that cold up there.
Yeah, they like warm weather.
They're
not hockey fans. Yeah,
ghosts but they are. Well, they are friendly though up there. The ghosts are friendly in Canada. No.
Right.
But we are going to talk about for episode 16. We're going to talk about haunted Canada.
Yeah.
We've decided to, instead of, there's so many different stories, there's tons. I listen to a lot of videos and a lot of different places that are haunted, but we decided to each pick out a particular place and discuss it. And I haven't heard about Todd's and I haven't heard about Nate's and they haven't heard about mine. We just kind of know what each other is going to talk about. So I think we're going to regale each other with stories of certain places and some ghost stories. And
before we get into this, the reason this was my idea, so this is the topic I chose.
I think it was a great idea.
And the reason is because when we started the podcast outside of the U.S., Canada was one of the first two or three.
Mm-hmm.
I think U.K., U.S., U.K., and then Canada. So I just thought, you know what? We'll do a haunted Canada.
It's our neighbor to the north.
Yeah.
Hello, Canada.
So. And I love hockey. You know, I'm upset that my Penguins got beat the first round, but it's all right.
I've not been to Canada, but I want to go. Like my friend,
I've been there a handful of times.
Canadian Rockies are beautiful to see, but the western part of the country, you know, it's beautiful up there.
Mm. Yeah, it's nice.
And it's where we got Wolverine, right?
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go to Canada, but especially Toronto. And I heard Vancouver is beautiful.
Vancouver is awesome.
Yeah,
I've never been there, but I've seen pictures.
Yeah. So haunted Canada. And Sean's going to be, he's going to share his story first.
I'm going first. I told the guys that
he's leading off.
Anytime we were like, oh, okay, who wants to go first? And anytime we had like speeches in class, I was like, nope, I'm first. If I can volunteer to go first,
get it over with.
I was like, get it over with. And that way I can sit back and not have the nerves and all that.
So
kind
I was
of
too
stuff.
Busy still writing my speech. While
Nate had to, he's
doing
like,
theirs.
Call me last, call me last, call me last.
And I was like,
just forget about me. Give me an A.
He was hoping the bell would ring.
If it was a Friday,
I can do it tomorrow.
I get the weekend. I'll do it Monday or Tuesday. You know.
See, and I like the middle. I don't want to start it off and I don't want to end it. I just want to kind of blend in, you know?
Well, I'll make mine extra
good. This will be more fun than a book report.
You guys will have to follow me now. Ha ha. What I did is I like castles. We've talked about this. I know you guys like castles too.
Oh, yeah.
Haunted.
Yeah. Always have.
I'd love to take a trip overseas and go through castles and stuff. That'd be so awesome.
We have some quote unquote castles here, but there's nothing like going.
No, not medieval.
European castles. Now there was a video I watched and I'll give you the name of what I'm going to talk about here in just a minute, but there are like 25 most haunted castles in the world. This came up on there.
Ooh,
and like
awesome.
One nice. Of them was, they talked about Frankenstein, you know, the what inspired in Germany, the castle. So we're talking about that kind of, you know, and Bram Stoker's Dracula's castles, you know. So this is, I was like, oh, we got to go with this. So this is in Victoria, British Columbia, and it is called the Craig. Now there's a couple ways to say this because I heard a couple different ways. Craig Derrick or Craig Deroque. And it's Craig, like you spell it with a C, Craig Darroch castle. I know Todd's writing it down over there. One thing about Victoria, and I did not know this when I was looking into it, it is the most haunted place in Northern America. So this particular castle has a great backstory, and I'm going to share some of it, and then we'll talk about some of the spooky stuff too. It was constructed in the late 19th century as a family residence from a wealthy coal baron. He actually was he was a coal miner, and then he made it big in the coal business, so he became this coal, you know, baron, I guess they called him. His name is Robert Dunsmuir. So that's Dunsmuir. We always have these weird like names that you can totally mispronounce.
It's never Smith.
It's never Smith or Jones. Yeah. Schmeith, dear.
Jimmy.
Yeah. So Robert Dunsmere and his family, it took them 3 years to complete. I think it was 87 or 1887 to 1890. Mm-hmm. And then his wife was Joan. So they, he actually died. It wasn't even completed, when he ended up dying. So he didn't even get to live in it. So that it took so long, but it is, I saw tour. They have regular tours. The interesting thing about this is that it's just like, that Hermitage Hotel I told you about down in Nashville, that they're like, well, we're not haunted. You know, if you call them,
right,
like, they're not
right.
going to admit it.
Yeah.
This place is that same way, even though they're on, you know, the 25 most haunted castles, they will not admit that they're haunted. However, they are extremely haunted, according to people that have gone through there.
He didn't physically get to live there, but he lives there.
That's what they say. He's definitely one of the specters in
he
there.
He resides.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow, some way.
So, and this is one, as far as Victoria goes, and in Canada, they say this is like the number one for paranormal investigators to go. And it, because Victoria apparently has a dark history, and we won't go into the history of Victoria. I don't know tons about it. I love history, but I don't know about, but they said there's a dark history there. So, and a long history. This place, or the castle itself, is 25,000 square feet, and the whole...
Sorry, I hit the microphone.
Oh, you're fine. You're all right. You're just testing.
Out of my head.
Yeah. Your microphone.
People are like, whoa, no. It's
your microphone works.
Yeah. Oh,
one of these days, you know, we're going to have a clean podcast where there's no mic hits, there's dog gas, there's no... No, I'm kidding. Why? But why would we do that? Why? Like, we have to have, like, this is real life, people.
We said this is going to... Yeah,
this is real.
We're
right.
living life.
We're not editing all this.
It's situated on 28 acres and, it's interesting because, like I said, he died 17 months before it was completed, and he had a son, Alexander, and another son, James. And so they had to make sure that it got completed. And then there was the wife. She ended up living until 1908. So she was the widow. And then she died and, you know, still owning the home. So it was, there's a long family history. I guess the mother and the sons even fought over, you know, what to do with it. And it's kind of sad. They attempted once she died to sell the castle, but it was so much land that came with it that they couldn't get anybody to be interested. So they ended up, the segments of those 28 acres, they made into three segments, trying to sell it to three different people. And then they had a little lottery system where this castle was the prize. So if bought one of the three, you would have 1 in 3 chance to win the castle.
That's kind of cool.
Prize. Isn't that kind of cool?
Good idea.
I'm in.
Yeah.
That
so,
would be awesome.
So that's how, like I said, it has all kind of a history here. And then they build another castle. This isn't like H.H. Holmes' castle, but this is not a murder castle.
Hope
this
not.
Is a real nice castle. And they called that second one, it was called Hatley Castle. And it was commissioned by the son, James. So, and that's in, what is it called? Colwood, British Columbia. I'm not familiar with that, but Colwood.
So he didn't want this castle, but he built another castle.
He did build another. Well, yeah. So why not?
Must be nice.
One castle, yeah. Why not another one, right? There are now, so it's been everything from a school to a music academy to a veterans home over the years. And now it's a National Historic Site and Museum. And they have 150,000 different visitors that come through per year. Like I said, it's designated as a historic monument or museum, mm-hmm. and that's been since 1992, I believe. So, and when you go there, you pay the money. I think it's like 14 or 15 bucks, like to go for, I think you get an hour, and it's a self-guided tour. They have like, you know, they give history, little like things that you can read and talk. It talks about
history,
but they're not going to talk about the ghosts, unfortunately, but they're going to talk about family history and all that kind of stuff. But you do a self-guided tour, and that's the funny thing is there's so many videos, and like I have a little story pulled up just to give you a little taste of what it's like when people interact with some of these ghosts. There's a string of family deaths. Okay, now I got to hit it next. I'm going to hit it next.
I don't know what. Nope.
It's going to
be no idea what I'm doing. I keep hitting the microphone.
You're stroking out over there.
Oh, man.
We talked about the last one that
maybe
a little alcohol might help, and so still no alcohol, no drugs involved, but maybe there should be.
I'll hit it, and Nate's like, "Whoa, wait.
Like woo!"
I'm like, I have no idea.
It is what it is.
It is.
I apologize.
What it is. So there was a string of family deaths we heard about in the history of this house, and Robert Dunsmere, the original, the father and the proprietor of the first castle. Was the first to die, and he is still seen. His wife, after she passed, is seen. She's been, it's funny because you see him, And he is often seen in his study, apparently. And she's seen all over the house, but they say sometimes she's in a rocking chair in her room. Other times she shows up in like a ball gown on the staircase. But she, like I said, she can be found in any room. And then she also likes to move the furniture around. She rearranges the furniture. She moves, like if they say there's, a lot of like objects and things that move in the house and it's normally her. There's been orbs reported. There's music, like the piano plays without anybody being there to play. And there's nothing, there's no place where this music is coming from. There are ghosts show up in pictures people take all the time. There's disembodied voices. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. They say they see the ghosts of the family and the servants. There are one cool thing, and I'll read this here in just a minute, is there are feet without bodies. So disembodied feet that walk up the stairs and are like, whoa, where'd those come from? Huh. And visitors will see other visitors that are there, and then they'll see visitors that aren't there and like, hey, where did that one guy go? He's like, who are you talking about? I'm like, well, there was a guy going up the stairs. Nope. No, there's not. So these are, you know, not some, you hear these kind of ghost stories, but they definitely have it in this castle. And like I said, they're all self-guided. The one that I saw a lot about, there's a little girl that runs around. You see her just about everywhere. You see her outside, you see her inside. You see other children, but she's the most famous, this little girl. And they say that she oftentimes is seen looking very down and sad.
Oh.
So that makes me sad too.
I know.
But they say that little children running around. Oopsie, I hit it. And so it's just super spooky. And mm-hmm. I think the spookiest part is that they're not willing to say, oh, it's not haunted.
Well, it's bad for business.
Exactly. Which is no. Is it? Is it bad for business? Yeah. It shouldn't be bad for business.
No, they know, but everybody knows.
Right. So this was there was a story. There was all kind of videos of different stories of people being, you know, feeling ghosts or feeling, you know, like they say that you're going to go there, you're probably going to have some kind of experience, mm-hmm. Or spooky feeling or some kind of a chill up your spine at least.
Good.
But other times you're going to see things and, you know, experience things.
That's why I would go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And these are, I don't think they have nighttime tours. They might, but I'm sure this is a lot of daytime stuff, you know, and I don't know how much, you know, they say investigators are coming in. They probably are coming in for nighttime stuff, but a lot of these videos were like in broad daylight. So, it says the Craig Duroc, whatever castle is not only beautiful, but it's also had an added attraction. This is a personal account. My family and I did not count on. They toured at a particular time. All of us were scattered here and there on the second floor, exploring the different rooms. I met up with my son-in-law in a front room that was titled Jesse's Room. Upon entering Jesse's room, we noticed my husband was on the other side of the room, looking a bit shaken. I have to explain a bit more about this room. My husband was standing in front of a partial wall from the floor to the ceiling. It was hiding a staircase that led to a third floor above. The lower part of the stairs were exposed to the room. When my son-in-law and I entered Jesse's room, this is where we found my husband standing with his back to the partial wall looking strange. It was then my son-in-law and I saw a pair of black dress pants from the knees down to ankles walking up the stairs behind the wall. I asked my husband, "Who is that?" My husband answered, "Who is what?" I replied, "The man who just walked up the stairs." My husband answered, "There's no man. I was the only one in here." My son-in-law said, "What, are you kidding us? We just saw a man go up the stairs." My husband insisted that no one was in the room, just him, although he did say he kept feeling someone was in the room with him and he kept seeing shadows on the wall moving, but he didn't see anyone or anything in person. My husband thought it might have been an employee who worked at the castle moving around the top of the stairs behind the partial wall. So it says, my son-in-law and I didn't believe him. We saw the pair of legs in a solid form. It wasn't misty, ghosty, or foggy or whatever, but it was a solid form. It was then all three decided to investigate what we saw. We went up to the third floor to find the door leading to this, quote-unquote, Jesse's room on the second floor, and there was a door leading down to the room. The door was solid wood, and the bottom half and the upper part had had window panes. I was busy looking through the windows and at the stairs leading below. It was then my son-in-law pointed out the door didn't have a doorknob. There was an opened hole where the knob should have been. He also noticed that the door was bolted shut. A day or two later, we all were having lunch together. We started going over the Craig Duroc Castle, or Derek Castle, and what we three experienced in Jesse's room. We tried to piece it all together. My husband said he felt and saw something going on in the room, but couldn't see with his own eyes. Later, he confessed he was scared and didn't want to say anything. My son-in-law both saw the same black dress pants from knees down to the ankles, as clear as day. The door above on the third leading to the room, door without a knob and bolted shut. We were trying to make sense of it all. So say they're trying to figure out, was this a ghost? What? So they all had this experience. I thought there were several different experiences, but I thought that was, they had the most like information and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's
but
a good one.
People are having all kind of experiences in this castle.
Castle.
And who knows, you know.
I like that.
Yeah. Is
that'd
cool?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So like I said, and you put most haunted places in Canada, this is what comes up.
Nice.
So I was like, oh, I got to do it.
Heck yeah.
And I always think it's interesting because it's, whether it's a house or, you know, castles, it seems like the original builder rarely gets to see it completed.
Yeah,
it
they always
like
pass
it happens
away
a lot. Yeah.
Right before it's finished.
I'm like, what a bummer for them, yeah, you know?
And there's always a girl spirit, little girl spirit, mm-hmm, everywhere.
That kind of bummed me out, though, that she's kind of sad, or
yeah,
she looks,
it is
appears
yeah
to be sad, or...
One of the last things they said about this pair of feet that they saw said something that was bothering them. The legs had no feet or shoes, and they had, they said they saw it climb two stairs and go behind the wall, but it had no feet or shoes. And they asked, what doesn't have shoes or feet? And they said, I would say a ghost.
Yeah.
You're like, let me think about that.
So, yeah, there's that.
I'll have to look at the pictures of the castle.
Oh, and there's lots of videos to show. I mean, it's beautiful on the outside.
I
like, as soon as you see it, it's very, they say when you get there, I saw some tours that people are taking, like, this is, when you come around the corner, there people are trying to find it, you know, and all the signs, and they're like, it's the first thing you see, it's just breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, wow, that is a beautiful structure.
Mm-hmm.
But then they said, once you get in there, again, beautiful. Like the tapestries and all the, you know, the way it's decorated in the stained glass. And
right,
it is. It's very, very beautiful building. But, and like I said, if you just, that's surface level. But then when you go just a little deeper into the history and then you go into
yeah
all the experiences people are having, it's haunted. I don't care what they say.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're making the
disclaimer.
State. Yeah, right. We're making, yeah, state law.
We're going to call and tell them, you are haunted, and then just hang up on them.
Yeah. I don't know, man. If I'm owning, I don't care if it's a hotel or castle or whatever. I'm saying it's haunted. I mean, if it's deemed to be from other people, they've had experiences, I'm not shying away from.
Yeah.
Cause,
yeah.
And I know a lot of places do say that. They advertise that. But then
yeah,
for some reason, I don't know. Why? What's the point? And you're still going to have business.
Yeah. Well, and then you're constantly having to
castle. I mean,
try to come up with reasons why people are seeing these goofy things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're constantly just trying to keep it under the rug instead of just being open with it and saying, yeah, we got ghosts.
Just be
easier. If you want to stay, stay.
Yeah.
It's that whole idea of, remember the 13th floor we talked about, people mm-hmm taking them out of buildings? Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Don't.
No.
Why fight it? Yeah. Don't fight it.
It's still there. It's just named 14.
And if you covered claim that
little,
it's haunted,
little gym, too, didn't we?
You're going to have people visit because it's supposed to be haunted. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. And to me, it just kind of sounds silly and pointless to say, to fight it. You know, mm-hmm, to deny it being haunted, but whatever, third place. But
yeah,
it's not like you're going to drive business away. You're gonna get business.
Enhance, yeah. If anything, it's going to enhance it.
You know, from investigators to just people like us that want to tour it or see it, whatever. But yeah, that's a good story.
Remarket it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The
exactly
farmer at one point had corn on the cobs, and then it all popped, and he was like, "Well, now I got
popcorn. Now I got."
That's a perfect great analogy. I like that. Yeah, we'll call that the popcorn analogy.
Yeah, he's been waiting to use that.
It's corny. It
just came to me.
Making you proud on the dad jokes.
That is good. That's not bad.
All right, now you guys have to follow me. So,
all right.
You like to go second, right?
I'm
middle.
I
like
right
being in the middle.
I'll mm-hmm be the middle kid.
Middle-aged.
So the one I chose is called the Fort Garry, G-A-R-R-Y, so two R's, the Fort Garry Hotel. And this one is located in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
Hmm. Winnipeg so Jets.
The Winnipeg? That's right. Yeah.
You know your Canada, don't you?
I know the hockey.
Your hockey.
Teams.
I was going to say your hockey.
Yeah. I like their logo, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this place, so the Fort Garry Hotel, it was built in 1913, and it was constructed by the Grand Trunk Pacific Railway. And it says the original purpose and the intent of the hotel was to provide a comfortable means of lodging for those that would come in by train. And it says that it was the name of it was derived from an area that was close to the establishment called the Upper Fort Garry. So and especially for that time period, it was this hotel was considered I love this word, exquisite, in the architecture style and the design, and it was just, you know, travelers loved it, and they used the word adored.
Ooh, adored.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So it was built in 1913, so a little over 100 years ago. So for this structure. Well, I'll get some stats first.
I
missed stats. Yeah. I'm going to have stat moment.
We need it. Well,
we need the jingle.
I wait for
stat moment.
Yeah.
Stats, middle-aged moment, and then that's a wrap. That's
right.
We just need to do those three things and we're good. The rest is just filler.
The rest is just because we're bored.
Hey, right.
Yeah, we just
middle-aged
really
and bored.
The only reason I would do this is because I can do stats, and I know Nate just wants to say that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
So yeah, so this hotel is 12 stories in height, and it has 340 rooms, and for its especially for its time, each room had its own bathroom, and it wasn't the case back then. That's
that's
big luxury.
Of its time,
it used to be like common room.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And so you're in high cotton, high living if you're, going to this hotel. It's got you have your own bathroom, and so like I said, it was a rarity back then, and it was considered to be self-sufficient. And what they said was it was designed to be a city within itself.
Oh, that's cool.
So they had had a bakery, a press, a well, what else here? A musician room, a concert hall. So pretty cool stuff.
That is really. Yeah, that's way ahead of its time. Yeah. Like they're trying to do that more nowadays is mm-hmm. like have a little community, neighborhood
a lot of the,
communities.
Hotels at Las Vegas, they're sort of that way. They have all mm-hmm. these different shops and different restaurants. And
yeah. And you're thinking over 100 years ago.
Never need to leave, right?
Yeah. But then the first thing that came to me is that's sort of like a cruise ship.
Oh, right, yeah. Right.
Cruise
that's
ship's
why
a floating city.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what it is.
You've got a barbershop on the ship. Yeah, that's what I thought too when I read this. I thought it's kind of like a modern day cruise ship.
Yeah,
got your
why would you ever need to leave?
Sign me up. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. And so before I get into the haunted history of it,
It's haunted.
It is. Dun, dun, dun. Spoiler alert! It's haunted.
Darn.
They had a lot of prominent guests. Celebrity type people that visited this hotel. I'll just name a few. Harry Belafonte, Laurence Olivier, mm-hmm. Liberace, Charles Laughton, Louis Armstrong, Gordie Howe, the great hockey
number
player.
Number 9.
That's right. And then the other two I have written down or highlighted is King George the 11th.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. King George the 6th. Sorry.
I didn't even know they went up that high.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And Queen Elizabeth.
I don't know her.
Who stayed during, they both stayed during their 1939 visit to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there's a couple other people I've never heard of. Arthur Fiedler, Nelson Eddy, and Lester Pearson. So maybe somebody out there ever heard them, but
they sound famous. That's very famous.
They
made the list.
Nothing sounds more famous than Nelson Eddy. Yeah,
Nelson Eddy.
Yeah. Never trust anybody with two first names. Okay. So now let's get into the fun stuff. So that was just kind of a little bit,
That was teaser.
That was just teaser. Yeah. I've got a bunch that I highlighted here. Very, 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 very haunted, Sean.
Ooh, are you trying to outdo me? Is that what you're trying
to do? I'm going to outdo you.
You're going to outdo my little sad girl?
Yeah, exactly.
Bring it on.
I don't have any sad girl stories.
Bring it.
Yeah, thanks for bumming us out. I'm going to lift us up. This is to lift us up now.
You raise me up.
That's right. Okay.
Ooh, that was bad.
So the first one. Ooh, yeah. Room 202 is the most.
When you get the rooms, you know it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
I like that room.
Yeah, so it's many guests who have stayed in the room 202 have stated that they have seen this woman in it's not a girl, it's a woman in a mournful state, okay?
Another wandering sad one.
Right, wandering around, and the reason is because her husband had killed himself.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He was the love of her life. He had been tragically killed in a car accident. She thought he had killed himself.
Mm.
Regardless, she just went into a state of despair and committed suicide herself. Mm. So Yeah, she was sad, and so
it is sad.
So this woman
be a reason to be sad.
Yeah,
I thought you were bringing us up.
I know, I know.
It's like
not yet.
Second thought,
not yet. So this poor woman, so because of her husband, and real quick, it seems like there's always, especially with hotels, there's always a woman that either had a husband or a fiance got killed, or they killed themselves, and then they obviously get sad and then you just figure that might as well take their life. It seems like that's always a popular. It's kind of like the woman in white.
Yeah.
You know, it's always a. I don't know. It's just always an
ongoing thing.
Ongoing thing. Exactly. So that's room 202.
Okay. Stay away from that room. Got it.
That's right. Several apparitions. The dining room, have been, so here we go. Several rounds that cannot be, several sounds that cannot be accounted for have been heard throughout the establishment. Rooms such as the dining room, they have been locked and have had terrible sounds emerging from them.
Ooh.
Upon investigation, no one was there. So they hear these.
Not the yum-yum sound.
Not the yum-yum sound.
That's a flashback on it.
Yeah.
You made the yum-yum sound.
So they do it. Yeah, they do an investigation. Nobody's there, but they hear all these sounds. Several other unexplained events also take place in the hotel. They include sounds of crying, mourning, and talking that cannot be explained. Let's see here. Staff who have worked at the hotel report seeing blood dripping down the walls upon entering certain rooms.
That's classic.
That is classic.
Yeah. guests have witnessed an apparition of a woman in a cloak hovering at the foot of their bed.
Hmm.
So it's kind of
it's creepy. Like Ghostbusters. No.
Yeah, that's why.
That is
exactly.
Totally.
Yeah. Now back to the bleeding walls. I mean,
don't skip over that.
No. Yeah, but it. Does it disappear, or do they have to clean it up? You know?
Yeah, I know. That's does it appear? It's kind of like the remember the invisible ink or the
ink? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You spur it on somebody's shirt, but it just kind of.
I mean, I was a worker there, I was like, oh great,
the wall's bleeding again. I got to get another.
All this up.
I got to get another job.
That's why you give
or a raise.
Yeah, right.
There's a blood bonus.
I know. I know you hired me at this rate, but you didn't say anything about dripping blood. Yeah,
cleaning blood once a week.
We'll give you the blood bonus.
Yeah, they didn't say. That's a good question, though, Nate. Do they have to clean it up, or does it just disappear as much as it can?
As always.
Somehow I don't want to find out.
I mean, you see it in movies. I mean, obviously that's make believe film work. But
right.
How do you think they get their ideas, though?
Yeah.
From the real world.
Yeah, true. And then the woman hovering at the foot of the bed. That's kind of creepy.
That would totally
cloak.
Creep me out. Ooh, yeah.
Ooh. Cloak. What is that word? Yeah.
Cloaks make it that much scarier.
And what like 100%. Great work, cloak. Mm-hmm. You know,
here we go.
Room 202, again, and 204. A former Ontario Liberal MP, Brenda Chamberlain, claims she was awoken by a sensation of someone getting into the bed with her two different times.
Ooh.
So not just once, but twice.
Sheesh. Trying to get fresh with her.
Yeah, frisky ghost, yeah.
Right. Another story is a young boy who was on a trip with his family, organized a make-a-wish, and wanted to stay in the room, 202.
Wow.
And he was fascinated with the whole thing and decided to take some pictures of the room with his film camera. After getting the photos developed a couple of months later, all of the photos from the trip turned out apart from the ones in around room 202. They never developed.
Oh, weird.
Wow. That's one heck of a make-a-wish.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Now it says the boy was so thrilled, actually, that he believed, this is kind of cute, he believed the spirits in that room were just camera shy and didn't want to be seen.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's actually really cute.
So it's kind of like, they didn't say how old he was, but I'm like, oh, that is nice.
He's probably 27.
He's 32.
He's 30, yeah.
It's kind of like, way off.
Kid, I know, kid at heart. Yeah,
it's kind of like the water boy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He goes, how old are you, 13 or 14? 21. Ah, he starts laughing at him. He says his age. Like,
poor guy.
And the woman that is associated with room 202 is also said to haunt the hotel lounge.
Hmm.
She has been witnessed by staff and guests and often crying in the corner. Man, a lot of crying.
I know.
I know.
I thought we were taking this.
I know.
You had me at blood walls. You took it down by that.
Some employees have seen a woman, a young woman dressed in a robe, walking down the hallway and then disappears.
Hmm.
Just kind of random.
Not a cloak?
Not a cloak.
It's a robe this time.
Right. And a robe, yeah. Yeah, it's not as cool as a cloak. And then ghostly figures have been witnessed in other rooms, often at the foot of their beds.
Yeah. Man, that freaked me out.
I know. And sometimes a man has been seen, and in other instances, it's a woman wearing a ball gown. Hmm. So,
you wait, cloak, the man was wearing
robe,
the ball,
ball gown, a little more fancy.
The man was wearing the ball gown?
Could be. They didn't say it that way, but so maybe sometimes he's like, can I wear the ball gown? Sure.
Right.
You wear it all the time.
The ghosts have some fun, right?
Right, right.
That's cute.
So, yeah, so we go from a cloak, a robe, to a ball gown. Yeah.
I have one quick question about this place. If you called them up and said, are you haunted, do they think they're haunted? Or they say they're not haunted?
You know, I did not.
Oh, I was just curious.
I did not look that up.
I know we don't always get that.
No, they didn't say.
I would say haunted.
And I've got I'm saying haunted. And I've got two different resources, and neither one of them said anything about do they deny it or claim it.
I'm going to hope this is an embrace the haunting.
I think so. If they didn't claim that they don't claim it, then they probably do claim it.
Right.
Exactly. I like how you said that.
Yeah. I liked a lot. The logic was...
I had to pause there. Am I saying this right?
I think that was solid logic. I liked it.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. Say they...
This is why
apples are red because they're red.
This is why I went first. I went first so that I could just sit back and be like,
It's like Austin Powers. Let myself introduce myself. No, I like that. I know where you're going with that.
That's fine.
Yeah. I like to state the obvious.
You can always tell the second episode, can't you? Like the second episode, we're just like,
later in the night, we're slap happy.
It. Yeah, we're winging
it's
it a little bit.
It's not even late. Yeah.
It's not that late.
And again, we're not drinking. We're not doing drugs. Again, though, maybe we should.
Speak for yourself.
All right. And I'll leave you with one more haunting, and then I'll move on. In 1989, give it up for my senior year, a hotel employee was cleaning the kitchen overnight. He had gone up the back stairway around 4 a.m., which is never a good idea, 4 a.m.
No.
When he heard a strange sound coming from the locked dining room, he immediately went to the key, and upon opening the door, he witnessed what looked like a figure of a man sitting at a table. He quickly ran to get another member of the staff to show them what he had seen. However, when they both returned to the dining room, the figure had vanished. So he was not there.
Dun, dun, dun.
He was there. He just wasn't
there
where you could see him.
That's right. That's right. He was there, but he wasn't there before he... Wait a minute.
That's logic. Back to Austin Powers logic.
That's right. But yeah, so there you go. There's a little...
That was good.
Bunch of hauntings from the Fort Garry.
Yeah. Castle.
Fort Garry Hotel.
That's my father-in-law's name, so that's a good name, Gary.
Gary?
Okay. I don't believe that's his fort. But
I have a cousin, Gary.
Yeah. My dad's name, Gary.
Oh, Gary's of the world unite, right?
But not two R's, I bet, right?
No.
Oh, that's right.
Single R.
Gary.
Single R, yeah. So there you go. My Fort Garry Hotel.
Shout out to Gary's out there, right?
That's right.
I think SpongeBob's pet snail's name's Gary.
Well, there you go.
That's right.
We got all kind of connections to Gary.
It's like Coleman, 6 degrees of love, different strokes. Yeah.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Now we got Gary. 6 degrees of Gary.
Yeah,
just Gary.
How Gary are you?
That's right. I'm gonna put a questionnaire on Facebook. How Gary are you?
They'll be like,
how many Garys do you know?
What
is your name, Gary? Yeah.
Well, I guess it's my turn, huh?
Nate, it's all you, buddy.
You're last.
Bring us home.
Wow. Bring it up the rear.
Okay. I decided to do, because we have one here in Indianapolis, too, a haunting at the old Spaghetti Factory.
Oh, makes me angry.
And this is at Gastown, British Columbia.
Gastown. Interesting.
BC.
I hope that's how it's written. I hope I pronounced it right.
Gaston?
No. Or,
it might be Gaston.
It could be Gaston, yeah.
Gastone.
Yeah. Gastone.
Yeah.
So, the first major ghost haunting of the old Spaghetti Factory is sightings of a tram conductor, because they have I think in most or all of them, they have an old tram in the middle of the restaurant. And it's a number 53, old trolley car. And they say that they come into the room and he's in full uniform. And he's there after the restaurant empties. So he's being seen by the employees.
He's looking for tips, you know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Ghost
so then,
tips.
And a lot of these, they think the building itself isn't necessarily haunted. The ghosts have come with the artifacts.
Ah, yes. See?
Okay.
So it's not necessarily that the building is haunted. It's just the artifact mm-hmm. has a we spirit
that
attached to
what
it.
They've attached,
we learned
right.
that with Aaron.
We learned yeah. that with Aaron in episode 13, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
it's a different spin. Yeah, I like that.
So yeah, that makes it even
spookier.
Yeah, a little spookier. And right. You don't know what's all in there.
Right. Sure.
Depends on what they brought in. So the second ghost is called the Little Red Man. He has flaming auburn hair.
I like it already.
And is known for mischief.
Ooh.
Rumor has it that he roams the kitchen whispering to staffers and calling them out by name.
Oh, I like that.
That's really creepy.
That is creepy.
Yeah. So then the third ghost was spotted by a waitress. She saw a young boy running around the restaurant during the closing shift. It freaked her out so much that she resigned on the spot. She's like, nope, not dealing with it. I'm done. See, the same spirit has been also seen bending the cutlery. And then when the staff members bring it to the attention to the manager, the previously bent cutlery is mysteriously returned to its normal shape.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, he bends it, and then they take off. You got to see this, and they come back.
And he fixes it.
Yeah, it's all fixed.
And they're like, whatever.
You're nuts.
Oh, booger.
Yeah. Man. And then...
And this is the same one? This is the little red...
Yeah. Yeah. No.
This is
a little boy.
Oh, little boy. Little boy.
Yeah, I think... They didn't really state what the little red man does, other than he's just mischievous.
Mischief. Yeah, okay. Because that sounds mischievous.
He's a mischief maker.
Yeah. Okay. He's probably getting pointers from the little red man.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to freak him out? There is.
Yeah. It's really worked for me last
Seriously,
time.
It works every time. I've been doing it for years. That's awesome.
So then the fourth ghost that's been sighted at the restaurant is a young girl sitting at a table near the front of the restaurant and holding a balloon. A friend of the general manager claimed that he had engaged in a long conversation with the ghost, but when someone else approached the table, she disappeared.
Ooh. Mm.
Man.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fun place to go.
Yeah.
So all that misinformation about Canada not being haunted is really not right.
Right.
Now it intrigues me to search into our local
spaghetti factory. No kidding.
There.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We may have to do that coming up.
I'm wondering if that, back to that little red man.
Yeah. Yeah.
What'd you say with the,
you're
the
fixated with
fiery
that,
auburn hair or something?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's the heat miser from the from the Christmas show, the claymation.
I know.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Don't make me sing the song. I know.
Please
the song.
Don't. Please don't.
That made me think of that when you said that.
Like, yeah. One of these days we're going to break out in song, right?
Yeah. That's a cool place, though.
That's
yeah,
fun.
Good,
yeah.
Some good hauntings.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Good pick.
And I think it's funny that the little boy bends the spoons, and then when the people come back, it's back to normal.
Yeah, it's straight.
That's weird.
So, that's yeah, mine weird. Wasn't as huge and big and elaborate as your guys's.
But no,
those are, I like
those. Are good hauntings,
no,
though.
No, yeah. Separate character or whatever, yeah, entities. Yeah. Entities.
I think it's neat that we picked, like three completely different things too. That wasn't all like, oh, it's just a bunch of haunted houses or castles or mm-hmm. you know.
Well, I just saw this. I think that's like, that old spaghetti factory is that the restaurant? We have one here.
Isn't that cool?
That's what caught my interest.
Did they say when it was built or anything, or did they?
No, the history of it.
Yeah, I was just curious.
I'm not sure,
because I don't even know when ours was. I don't know what the time frame was when the one here in Indianapolis.
Yeah,
not much I'm about. Not sure. It. I've never been there either, so
it's good. Good all food. Right.
Yeah, my daughter's been.
Makes me hungry just talking about it.
Girl Scouts or class?
Spaghetti.
It was a class.
Spaghetti makes me hungry.
Yeah, no kidding. I think it was a class party or something they went to. So, yeah, my daughter's been. I hadn't been. But I'm just curious what the, yeah, when it was constructed mm-hmm. compared to ours. But, yeah, I like that. No, I like those stories.
So, our neighbors to the north are definitely haunted.
They are haunted, so. Yeah.
Like I said, there's tons of, like, go looking into some of these videos. There are tons and tons of haunting in Canada mm-hmm. and, like, finding out, like, with mine, that Victoria was one of the most haunted places in North America. I thought, wow, that's pretty impressive.
Because mm-hmm.
right? we got some pretty haunted places around here, we found out already.
Yep, absolutely. I think, yeah. Maybe since I've not been to Canada, maybe that'll be a good reason to...
the haunt. You did it all for the hauntings.
Yeah. I did it. Isn't there a song?
Did it all for the haunt. for the nookie.
Sean. Was,
I know. I took that off.
Sean. Was it Limp Bizkit?
That would be. Yes, that was Limp Bizkit. Yes.
I have that CD.
Yeah, I do too.
Do you still have it?
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
No. I liked that song and another song.
Was that Fred Durst? Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
And
he's He's like
he's like everybody else. Like, did you, and
I don't know.
I'm gonna make some people mad, but like every time there's all these reunion shows, and no offense against Friends or whatever, but it's like when I see those things, and I'm not anti Friends by any means, but it's just like everybody's getting older. But then I looked at myself, I'm like, uh oh, so am I, you know?
Yeah.
So like, please stop doing these reunion things, because like some things just don't need a reunion. You know?
Yeah. That's
I think. I don't mean that against Friends, because there's so many people.
My wife loves Friends.
That's what mine does too.
Man.
And I work with people that do too. So, and it's a good show.
I watched like the first. I did not watch the reunion. After that, I was out. I'm like, I can't do it.
I'm out.
Yeah, I
can't find a. Okay. Year not that it was established there.
Okay. So anybody up there, just give us a holler and tell us.
We'll, Canada.
We'll
let's
wait. Go. We're waiting from a lot
there's,
of
things. There's many, many more.
We you just, hosers.
We just picked three.
Oh man. So. I thought it was something different, you know.
Mm-hmm. See, we're still waiting from waiting from confirmation from Turda. No confirmation yet. One of these days. I know we gotta install Turda in all of them, right? Yeah. So I can say
well,
that.
Well, we failed to do that in the last episode, yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
It's all right. Turda. Well, thanks, Nate, for that one. That was good. No, that was a good story. I like that.
Well, thank all of you guys. That was good. Yeah, I think Sean, we all did a good deal.
Well, that was fun. So anything else?
On the back.
That's right.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of setup history to a restaurant.
No.
No, but I mean.
There's some good eating there, though.
Oh, yeah. That's good food.
But you know what I think it's interesting is, like you said, it's not so much maybe the place, but it's the.
Artifacts that are there.
What they're attached to.
Yeah.
I think that's just as cool or creepy
and
interesting. Yeah.
Like I'll have to. I'm going to have to admit, and I don't mean to be offensive at all, but, you know.
Yes, you
I've
do.
Not been. I am. Yes,
you love to be offensive.
I am being offensive right now. That's why I brought up Limp Bizkit, right?
Yeah.
When I think of Canada. I think it's beautiful landscape. I've never been there. I need to go. But I think of syrup and bacon. I know that. Is that wrong? Is there a food discrimination?
No, it makes me, okay, I think you're all right.
I think with my food.
I think most
Canadian
people.
Bacon.
I think with my belly.
Right.
Through food. So yeah. Canadian bacon, right? Well, that's a good. Did you remember that movie? let's not go down the movie road again.
Here we go.
No.
I'll make this a 3-hour episode.
It was John Candy. So, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I just think of hockey and I don't know.
Oh, hot. Well, of course, I think hockey, yeah.
Yeah.
But sports, I mean, it's just, yeah. Sports and food, yeah. No, there's nothing wrong with thinking of syrup and
lumberjacks,
bacon.
Cold.
Yeah, right, cold, but yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a lot to it.
Dialect.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do justice.
Friendly.
Yeah, I don't.
And then French Canadians and, yeah.
Canuck.
Canucks.
The Canucks. Yeah. I work with. And
Vancouver
I'm,
Canucks.
I've been waiting because I work with a girl, a lady. She would be called a lady. She is. Her name's Linda, and she's from Canada.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hello.
She is one of the best nurses I've ever worked with. She's an acute rehab nurse. She's a medical med-surg nurse right now, and I've worked with her for many years. So she's fantastic, but she is. I tell her she's a Canuck, or she calls herself a Canuck. And she has a green card, but she said she will never give up her Canadian citizenship, and there's a reason
free
for
healthcare.
It. So, well, right, exactly. Yeah, sorry, Linda, but that's right. Yeah, she's no dummy.
Everybody
but,
knows.
I tease her about that, and I tell her I tease her about being Canadian because I'm just jealous. That's what it is. And she's like, I know.
Does she say a lot?
She does on occasion. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's become a camper recently, and she loves camping now, so which is funny. We've talked about that, too, but her and her husband go camping. They have, like, 5 or 6 boxers, and they have, you know.
Dang.
Like, yep. Okay. So they're, yeah. They keep busy.
All right. So, and, cool. And she listens to?
I told her that we're going to be doing a Haunted Canada, so
Linda,
if she hasn't, I don't
he
know.
He planted the seed.
I did. So I'm going to tell her, I'm like, you're on a podcast, and you need to listen to it. Come on.
We dedicated
an
episode to Canada, so.
Yeah, and
should go
get your Canadian friends and family to listen. We would love it.
Yeah.
We'll see those numbers go up, right?
Yeah, but seriously, though, when Sean said, hey, we've got listeners in the UK and Canada, I'm like, what? Are you serious? You know?
As soon as it moved, I mean, so. I'm just surprised that we got anybody outside of Plainfield.
Yeah, right.
You know, once that.
Little Plainfield, Indiana.
Like, once the bubble starts going, it is weird.
I text my wife, too. Yeah. I was like, you won't believe this. Canada, UK, and this is amazing.
It is wild.
And now we've got Brazil.
Yeah.
I will get a little nervous when the Kremlin or the like Beijing. Uh-oh, we're being listened to. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Canada, for giving us some haunted stories to talk about. We're not going to be hosers.
We're not going
to
be hosers.
Strange Brew. It's a great show.
There was I have to mention this, too. When I was younger, I used to watch Comedy Central a lot, and one of my favorite shows to watch was Kids in the Hall.
Do you remember Kids in the Hall? I love Kids in the Hall, yeah. Oh, I watched that in high school.
They're doing, like, a reunion thing, too. I think they're starting to, like, do some stuff together, and they're all
in their 60s, yeah.
So inappropriate, but so funny. Yeah.
So many good things have come from Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Rush.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
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 Was it Bob Saget? I think he's Canadian, isn't he?
A lot of famous people are Canadian. I'm not sure. Bob Saget could be, probably.
I think so.
I don't know the Bob Saget, yeah.
Jim Brewer?
You don't know the Bob Saget saga? Yeah. Jim Brewer, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. He's funny.
We could let's name as many Canadians as we can in 10 seconds. Go.
Jim Carrey.
Oh, Jim Carrey. Yeah, he definitely is, yeah.
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 A lot of Canadians.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sidney Crosby.
Sidney Crosby.
Keep going.
But, I'm kind of running out of Canadians.
I
mean, I could think
of some. We'll save some for another podcast. How about that?
If I keep going, that's just going to be on speculation.
Right. You could just name as many hockey players as you can, right?
Well, you got to be careful there. A lot of Finlands and a lot of
that's good
Russians. And
good point.
They're all over the
Swedish.
Place. Swedens.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
They're not all Canadian and American.
That's fair.
That's true. That's true. So, well, thanks, guys. I hope the listeners enjoyed Haunted Canada.
I did. That was good, actually.
I did, too. Mm-hmm. So, something different. And I like that we didn't know what each other... I mean, we knew the topic. I mean, the story, so we didn't repeat. But, I like just telling you guys the story and,
Blood walls and spaghetti. That sounds
That is funny, though, when you ask, do they have to clean it up? I'm like, you know... That would be a good question.
If you drop a plate of spaghetti on the floor, do you have to pick it up?
Right. And you know what? You make me... I want to email or call that. Hey, we do a podcast, and...
we need to know some information.
My buddy asked, do you have to clean up the blood?
I'm a stats guy. I need stats.
Yeah. And how... Sean, I'm going to turn it over to you for a middle-aged moment.
My middle-aged moment. And the first thing I want to do when we do this, I always preface it with, this is a community. As it should be. And we are here in this together, and we talk about a lot of fun stuff. We talk about creepy stuff, unusual stuff. But one of the most important things that we want to bring it back to is mental health and being here for you guys and being a support. You guys are supporting us, and we're here to support you right back. So this middle-aged moment is about that, is about kind of focusing on what's important, giving the good message, and just kind of wrapping things up with a little bit of lighter side. The first thing I want to do is quote Todd, who quoted Charles Dickens this week, just at the right time. I was at work, and I saw this. Yeah. And
I had to think about it for a second.
Like, Todd's like,
what did I do?
It was another Todd, and it's not you. No, I'm kidding. It was this Todd. But Charles Dickens, one of my favorite quotes, actually, not just of Charles Dickens, but in general, is no one is useless in this world who lightens the burdens of another. Mm-hmm. So simple.
Yep.
So true. So good. And I really appreciate that. Like I said, it came at the right moment and I really needed it. Well, so I wanted to share that. And the other thing I want, we've been talking about I've been doing songs, so I'm not doing another song. But I thought some of these, sometimes I listen to, I'm a little hokey with the motivational speeches and stuff like that. So I found a really good one, and I'm going to credit William Hollis with this. And it's titled, It's Not Easy, But It's Worth It. And it's a motivational speech. And this is kind of a little bit of prefacing it. But it says, I'm not saying it will be easy to achieve your greatest dreams, but I'm saying it will be worth it. And the harder it is, the greater the satisfaction when you do finally achieve it. So this is, it's not easy, but it's worth it. Da, 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 da. It's easy to have faith. Everything is going to work out when everything is working out. It's much harder to have faith when you are facing challenges in your life. But that is exactly when you need to apply your faith. Because faith is believing in the unseen. Faith is taking the first step. Faith is jumping in the deep end and knowing everything will be okay. It's easy to be positive when everything is working out. It's much harder, much, much harder when nothing is working out. But that's when you need it the most. Everything worth the prize is worth the fight. Everything worth the prize will require a real fight to achieve that prize. If you want the prize, you can't quit at halftime. You can't quit mid-season. You must play the whole game. Preseason through the cold, through darkness, through the challenges, the opponents. You will get knocked down, but you must get up. Keep fighting, dig deep, and discover your true strength. Then you will win the real prize. Character expansion. You rising to the next level. If I survive the storm, I can outdo the norm. To break through the norm, I must first survive the storms. To have more than most, I must do more than most, believe more than most, learn more than most, sacrifice more than most, believe more than most. Now, say to yourself, long term, I know what I need will come my way. Long term, I know if I keep at it, I will be rewarded. Long term, I know consistency pays off. Long term, I know all my actions, all my discipline, all my integrity will pay off in a big way. I have faith everything will work out. In the end, it will be fine if I keep working, if I keep learning, if I continue to evolve, if I continue to adapt, if I learn new ways. Setbacks aren't always negative. Sometimes they are set to guide us in a much bigger and better direction. But you can only see that if you show character in those hard times. If you remain open-minded in the hard times, if you show strength through the struggles, you can't say, why me? Ask, how can I come out of this stronger? What can I learn? In the hard times, we see who really has the character. In the hard times, we see what people are really made of, what you are made of. Tell me, what are you made of? Character, expansion, growth, and pride. Character, expansion, growth, and pride. Dig deep. Find that strength that lives inside you. Trust that if you keep doing your thing, you will be rewarded. It might not happen right away. It rarely does, but it will happen if you keep going. Don't allow regret to enter your life. Don't you dare look back on your life in 5 years and think, I could have done more. If I only stuck it out, I could have been in a much better position. No, look back with pride. Look back and be able to say to yourself, it wasn't easy, but I am so proud I stuck it out because I got myself my rewards. Make sure your story is one of strength. Make sure your story is one of someone who refused to give up, refused to settle, refused to be normal. Keep going. Your future self is begging you. I love that. It's like that a dog with a bone. Yeah,
you real like deep.
So, Sean, I'm going to say of all the ones you've read, that's my absolute favorite. And I've enjoyed every one of them, but that is my favorite one.
Yeah.
Well, I visit your
brain. Man, that was awesome.
I visit your brain, and I think, what does Todd need
what
to hear?
What does Todd need to
what
hear?
What does Nate need to hear?
No, I'm being very honest.
I think that everybody needed to hear that.
Was that's fantastic, good. Especially about regrets, because I still battle regrets. I hate that's the worst feeling from things back in my school or early career, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking
of regrets.
I
regret that I called Bob Saget a Canadian.
A Canadian. Is he not Canadian?
He's not Canadian.
Ha!
But
the
I knew there was a comedian other than Jim Carrey.
Michigan.
Harlan Williams is Canadian.
Oh, yeah. He's funny. I like him.
There you go.
Yeah. I knew as a...
The Saget saga continues.
Yeah. He is fully American.
Oh.
And then I was like, well, he's on Full House with Dave Coulier. He plays hockey. Nope, he's American too.
He's American too.
He's from Michigan.
Man, you're really working that.
Oh, I am.
Isn't it ironic?
I will make him Canadian before this is over.
I regretted that, so I needed to get that.
That's
out
all right.
And
that's
off
okay.
My chest.
Dave Coulier wouldn't mind me making a Alanis Morissette. Isn't it ironic?
That's right. She's Canadian.
Ooh,
yeah, she's Canadian.
That's bring it. Yeah, she is, and that got ugly. But we're not going to go there.
But no, seriously, that was my absolute favorite one.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
That's good. I'm glad you guys. I loved it. You listen to it, you read it, you know, do all those kind of things. Like I said, I want to give credit to it's not mine, obviously, but it is. It's really something that I think everybody needs to hear and stick it out, you know? Like sometimes that's what life is. It's just about who can survive, who can last, and we're doing it here. Like with this podcast, it'd be so easy to be like, ain't nothing, you know, nothing's going on here. And like, no, we're not doing anything. Let's just fold up, go home. You know, the circus is over. It's not. I mean, circus is only just beginning. No, but it's true. You know, like you just got to keep going. Someday we'll look back and say, "I'm glad. I'm glad we did this. I'm glad we made time for each other. I'm glad it made us better people. It made us better citizens. It made us better everything that we are. is better because of this. But we want to, if that helps inspire somebody to make their situation better, then it's amazing what, you know, what we've done here.
Yeah. I like the whole part of, keep doing what you do.
Mm-hmm. Keep being you.
The reward might not be instant, but you will get a reward if you just keep being you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And it's hard, especially me, because I want, I want results now.
Yeah, everybody. Right. That's
getting
that's
better. I'm getting better.
So human, yeah.
Talk to every child living right now. We are in an instant civilization. Instant gratification.
Right?
Yeah.
Avoid pain and gain pleasure. That's where we're at. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. That's true. My dad used to always say that we didn't vacation a lot when I was with my mom. We'd fly to Florida. But my dad always said, you know, enjoy the trip. I mean, the destination is awesome. It's fun. But sometimes the fun part's just going, the actual traveling. You know.
Well, that's like our big thing was like a 2-week out west vacation. We drive. Mm-hmm. And so it was the whole trip. It wasn't that, we just went here.
Right.
It was, okay, today we're going to drive here and we're going to see this.
It's along the way type stuff.
Yeah. And then tomorrow the itinerary is we'll drive here and we'll look at this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then find a campground and camp, and then next day we'll go over here. We'll spend a few days here because there's a lot of stuff to look at here. And I've always remembered all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Makes a very memorable experience of the entire vacation.
Right. Yep. That's exactly right. So, mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Sean.
No problem.
Tell us again, pleasure. Who was the author of that?
William Hollis, I believe.
William Hollis. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that was the Middle Age Movement.
Nice.
So I also have all the announcements, and I will be going into that next. First, you guys can always contact us on our email with our email address, and that's Mako with two A's. I'm going to beat you to it this time. MakoPodcast@gmail.com. And we obviously have merch. We talk about the merch. It's anything that you can imagine with our logo on it.
Can I get a towel?
You can get a towel. You can.
Towels, blankets, shirts, hats.
Toilet paper?
Glasses, mugs.
Toilet paper, Kleenexes?
No, you've said it before. I don't.
I know. Darn it. I'm
although
trying.
I'm not.
I'm trying. You're not against
it. Couldn't get
you're
that. Not against I just don't it. Know who would want. Unless they really think we're crappy it. And they want to wipe their butts with
it. I'll show them.
Okay, almost everything then.
They're terrible. I'll wipe my butt.
You can message us at Facebook or Instagram or email us your orders. You can get a hold of us. Speaking of Instagram and Facebook, you can always find us. Those are our group pages, Middle Aged and Creeped Out on Instagram and Facebook. We would love for you to join. We were talking about our membership's going up on both of those, and we're excited, and please feel free to post stories and memes and prayer requests and anything that you want on there.
And we're seeing a lot of interaction.
We're seeing more and more. Actually, I was checking that just now, and somebody was interacting that I'm very excited about.
So, yeah, thank you, guys.
And we want to thank you, as always, for all your support, the encouragement, all that we've received for this podcast. It's overwhelming for all of us.
And we mentioned in the last – sorry to cut you off.
No,
we mentioned in the last
you
episode
can do that, anytime.
That, you know, we – thank you for the break that you allowed us to have. We didn't put out an episode this past week, but we still had over 100 downloads without even putting an episode. And so for a really brand new podcast, that's a big deal.
It's impressive. Yeah,
we had 110, 114, something like that.
You're the stat guy.
I know. now it's correct me.
You
read
that.
You're feverishly writing down over there. I have no idea. I'm just enjoying the ride, man.
Yeah. 115.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Without putting a new episode. So that's huge. So
it really
thank
is.
You guys.
No problem. Oh, I'm not just me. Sorry. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, too, Sean.
Hey, you guys. So you can find us on all the major. It's a good thing. We're doing.
The
are we doing?
Happy starting.
Are we doing two more podcasts tonight?
We're going to go with five.
Five of them. My God.
Three in the morning.
You can find us on any major listening platform. That is, of course, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, and a countless number of others. And I've said this before, but if you can't find us on what you're listening to, find us on another one because we are on tons of them.
Yep.
So you can find us.
And you're not trying very hard if you can't.
You're not trying. God, get out there.
And real quick, what's funny is there's so many of those lesser ones that we cracked
up about
heard the name.
Never heard of them.
I'm glad for them. I mean, keep get out there.
Sure.
Get them booming, and then they'll be – like I said, I'm getting to know them more and more now, like seeing them on the our charts and graphs and all that stuff. But yeah, I'm glad they're
You don't
out
have
there.
Them all memorized by now?
I don't. Podbean, GeoSavin, or I can't. Yeah. Uh-huh. Tons more.
Well, so when we record the next time, I want you to memorize in alphabetical order.
CastBox, I think, is one. I'm so sorry.
Pod something?
Podcast something. And the last thing and most important thing that we do is give out any kind of mental health information we can. And what we always give out on every single podcast is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline. That number is 1-800-662-4357. And the last four on that is HELP. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline is the number is 1-800-273-8255. And the last four on that is TALK.
Thank you, sir. Once again, you did a great job.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Anything else you guys want to mention before we sign off for episode 16?
No. You want to have another discussion on aliens?
No.
Save that for
now. I'm on out.
25 more hours.
Right, right.
Just kidding. We'll bring that up another time.
Oh, yeah. We got plenty more episodes coming, guys.
I'm always trying to drive the car into the ditch. Like, okay, there's a ditch. Oh, let's get there. We should.
I see you as Bill Murray on Groundhog's Day, letting the groundhog drive.
Exactly. Yeah. Man. Well, that's what I do here. I let the groundhog drive every once in a while. Why not? That's what you guys are doing. You're letting the groundhog
Sean,
drive.
Sean, the groundhog layman. Oh, no, that was fun. No, that was good. I hope you
babe,
guys.
I got you, babe.
I got you, babe.
See, I'm gonna sing.
Man, that's dating. Oh man, Sonny and Cher.
Yeah.
Woo.
I used to watch that back in the 70s with my mom and dad. Oh, people are, some listeners are like, who?
What? Who in the world are you talking about?
I think I've heard of her. Who's Sonny?
I think Sam's trying to end us.
Yeah,
he's trying to knock over our table. He is knocking over the table and all our equipment.
Trying to knock everything over.
He's funny. I thought it was your nap time or your bedtime. Just kidding. You better sign us off quick.
Hey, I can't sign off until I get the official.
I know, I'm waiting.
Well, that's a wrap.
Well, that's a wrap. I love it. That's what I wanted to hear, Nate.
That's funny.
Well, thank you, as always, guys, for listening to us and giving us your time. We appreciate it very, very much, as always, and we can't wait to record our next episode, which will be number 17.
17, woof.
Yeah, so we've got, well, we have all the way through 20 already planned as far as what we're going to talk about.
Yep,
so.
Yep.
So that's amazing that we need to start soon, the next batch of.
Yeah, more ideas.
Give you a peek behind the curtain. We try to plan out our topics in usually groups of 6 to 8, I think, something like that. So
we've got like,
whoa,
endless.
Getting up to 20.
We got some good stuff coming too.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah. So, but yeah, thanks again as always, guys, for listening. And until next time, creepies. Nate is our sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle aged
and creeped out. Keep it creepy.